As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It's not about me. I'm only here for a minute. And I know that I can't fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?
Hello and welcome to the latest Laz and Powers podcast. I am Mark Lazarus. I am joined live and in person here in Nashville, Tennessee with Scott Powers.
Hello.
We are in your hotel room. You've been in this hotel room for about 30 seconds. You've already trashed the place. You're like a 1980s glam rock star, apparently.
Yeah. Later, the chair will go through the window. If it can go through the window.
Depends on how much time we spend on Broadway tonight, I guess, before we see that.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to spend any time on Broadway. I got a list of places from my cousin who lived here. We have the Irish places and the Scottish places.
you're nothing if not predictable, Scott.
He told me that there's one decent place on Broadway that he'd recommend. He said to go to, he meant hold it, what did he say?
This is good podcasting, yeah. Scott, as you scroll through your emails.
No, it is. I'll find. Oh, he said Robert's Western World is the only good bar on Broadway, so.
Broadway, I'm not a big Tootsie's guy, you know, I used to pretend that I like
Robert's Western World would like to sponsor us.
You know, we've been coming here for so long now, 11 seasons covering this team, and all the times, like, everyone wanted to go to Tootsie's, the famous place. I hate it. It's loud, it's crowded, you can't have a conversation, they only have crappy beer there, you can't get, like, a nice drink. It's like hell on earth for me, yeah. But there are a lot of places I do like. I like being up in a nice bar where I can, like, you know, talk to my friends and have a drink and just enjoy the place. And I had a little bit of that last night. It's fun coming here, but it is so goddamn hot here. Like, the NHL keeps having these drafts in, like, these hot weather places. Like, we were in Florida, we were in Dallas, we're here, we're going to be in Vegas next year. What are we doing, man? Like, I tweeted this yesterday. Have the drafts in the north and have the All-Star games in the south. Why is this complicated?
Watch, we'll end up like in some other city where it's just hot as hell anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Global warming, man, it's hot everywhere anyway,
yeah,
this time
of
year.
It is late June.
But so yesterday, you know, they had some availability with some of the awards finalists, and I went down there for a story that's coming out tomorrow. And our hotel, we're like a mile and a half from the, you know, normally I would walk a mile and a half, that's like a good walk, but it's 900 degrees out, so I didn't want to walk. I didn't want to get an Uber, too, that felt like wasteful, it's too short to drive, so I hop on one of those scooters. Sitting there like a tool with my little cargo pants and my backpack on, and I'm scooting down Broadway, going over the highway and stuff. And by the time I got to the hotel, I was still just drenched in sweat. It's like, didn't save me anything. So I took an Uber back. It cost the same as the scooter did. Anyway,
so we're doing the podcast today. We'll probably do one after the draft too, but yep. We're doing one today because the Blackhawks have acquired Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno.
Do we ever get a quiet draft weekend? Has there ever been, like, one where the Blackhawks didn't do anything of note? I mean, you've got you know, all the salary dumps of the Cup years when it would have Boland and Sharp and all them. You had, you know, the Jalmerson and Panarin one, which was the big one where Joel Quenneville storms out of the room. Yeah, that was in Chicago. Last year they went from having zero first-round picks to having three of them, and they traded DeBrinket and Kirby Dock. Now you got a Taylor Hall trade. I mean, cap dump or no cap dump, that's a number one pick and an MVP. Why is it never quiet?
Yeah, I was trying to think what year... Who they drafted in Chicago? Is that the Yoki Haru year? Right?
2017, I want to say that was, yeah. Would that have been Yoki Haru?
Yeah, I think it was.
Because the next year was Boqvist.
Yeah, because didn't Kane and Taves announce Yoki Haru?
God, I don't remember. These all blur together, man. This is again, more good podcasting as we try to rack our brains, try to remember a thing from 6 years ago.
I'm sure people remind us of years that anything didn't happen. But it was in, the fact that they've had so many higher draft picks, too. Like, before, it was like the 18th pick or whatever. So.
Yeah, now it's like top 10 picks every year, man. Yeah. Yeah, we're seeing how the other half lives.
So the Blackhawks traded for Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno in exchange for Elek Rigula and Ian Mitchell, two RFAs that I thought they were going to re-sign Rigula, maybe Mitchell. I guess the slight surprise is the Boston must have thought they'd have to probably give up something to do cash. I mean, this is getting rid of a salary for them. I mean, the Blackhawks are filling a need that the Blackhawks wanted in the offseason, wanting a top six forward and a veteran, and they feel like this achieves that. But at the same time, Boston was... Yeah, Boston obviously wanted to get rid of Taylor Hall.
It's interesting. Like you got to like what you get from the Black. They got a former MVP who's only 31 years old and can give Connor Bedard the weapon he needs for free. I mean, they got him for free. Like, they probably weren't going to, you know, re-sign Mitchell and, you know, Rigula, fine. He's like a fringe prospect. So you get a Hall of Fame.
But the question is, where you should have got something...
This is what I mean. Yeah, we've been talking all this time about weaponizing cap space. That's not what this was.
No.
This was accepting a salary cap dump. Yeah. They did not, like, hold Boston's feet to the fire here, you know? Boston didn't retain any salary, and the Hawks didn't get a draft pick out of it. They didn't get a prospect out of it. Like, this is a good trade on the surface for the Blackhawks, but it's a little surprising that they weren't able to kind of squeeze. I mean, Boston's in such a... They're in dire straits in terms of the cap, and they really want to sign Tyler Bertuzzi. So they had to get rid of Hall. And for the Blackhawks to take his entire salary, which I know they need to get to the cap floor,
you could have gotten
something for that.
Yeah, So you didn't really want Boston eating it. You probably would have hoped Boston throw in a draft pick,
right?
This
is not weaponizing your cap space.
No, this was. Yeah,
this is using your.
This
cap
was space. Yeah, utilizing your cap space, in exchange for very little. But yeah, I guess part of it depends on what the rest of the weekend looks like, right? Like the next of the week, like who's moved under other cap situations like this. Because Taylor Hall, he checks a lot of boxes for what they want in having next to someone like Bedard. Otherwise, I felt like you were probably acquiring a player. You're like, oh, this guy's okay. And, you know, like Taylor Hall isn't what he once was. But,
he's a good player.
But yeah, he
drives the play. Yeah. You know, he plays both ends of the rink. He's a good player.
And Foligno's interesting because he's actually going to be UFA in a few days. You know, according to his agent, that they're interested in having conversation. And the Blackhawks seem like they think they can get something done because they have money's not really an issue for them right now. So you can pay a guy a lot of money. And
you know, Foligno brings you – everyone loves Nick Foligno. Yeah. He's like one of those big character guys. Kind of like Jack Johnson was last year. You bring in a veteran that everybody likes and that's been through all the wars. And, you know, he's still a pretty good, solid defensive forward. He can play in your third or fourth line. He'd be a nice addition. I think he was making almost $4 million this year.
Yeah, 3.7.
He should not be making that much money, but if you can get him for a 1.5 or 2, I mean, that's
fine. Yeah, I think there's only one contract that really matters in the coming year is Kurashev's. I think Kurashev's the first, I'd like to write about this, and maybe I'm just ruining my story now, but I think Kurashev's the first contract that Davidson's going to give out for someone over $1 million that could be part of the future.
Right.
Like everyone else.
Everything else has been a stopgap.
Yeah. Or it's like Soderblom was interesting and they got him a good deal, but everything's been less than 200,000, you know, less than $1 million. So I think, the money really doesn't matter. Like I wrote about it today and they needed to probably fill up about $10 million to even get to the cap floor. And, Foligno, they throw him $2-3 million. He's probably gonna be overpaid. A lot of these guys. I mean, overpaid. And
are they gonna go out and still try to add someone else like a JT Compher or a Max Domi, or is this the Taylor Hall kind of?
Yeah.
Not necessitate that anymore.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, they certainly have the cap space to do that. They also want to, like, they still need to toe the line of they don't be, like, you don't want to get too far too good, right? Like, all of a sudden.
They still want to be bad next year.
Yeah, like, yeah, the goal is to have another.
You want to have Connor Bedard put him in a position to be successful, but you don't want the team to be successful.
Yeah, so I don't know how you want to,
Having Taylor Hall and, say, Tyler Johnson on your top line with him. Connor Bedard's going to do well. Yeah. Those are good, serviceable players know how to play.
Yeah.
But it's also not good enough that you're going to win 40 games.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a nice sweet spot for them.
Yeah, and there's some roster flexibility in that there's a lot of guys like Reese Johnson and Mackenzie Entwistle and mm-hmm. Boris Kachuk. And there's a lot of guys that don't necessarily, they're probably not going to require that roster spot. If they want to somehow bring in someone or if there's an opportunity to, to weaponize that, I think there's opportunities where they have enough players toward that bottom end where I don't think a lot of those people are long-term.
Yeah, there's going to be quite a logjam in terms of that bottom six, especially if you can bring in Foligno. You'll have, Foligno, Kachuk, Entwistle, Reese Johnson, Joey Anderson, Colin Blackwell is still around.
Yeah.
Your top nine is probably going to be some combination of, maybe Hall, Bedard, and Tyler Johnson. That would make sense. Reichel on your second line with who?
Dickinson or
Gutman? Radish?
I think
that's what's interesting with Athanasio is, Luke Richardson started using him as a center late in the year, and he liked him there. But you've also got Jason Dickinson. You got Cole Gutman. You've got Entwistle can play center. Reese Johnson can play center. There's a lot of guys in there that can kind of interchangeable parts.
Yeah, I'm not sure Gutman's going to start. Like, from what I've heard, I'm not sure he's going to be healthy enough to start the year, but he'll be back soon. I think either way, Reichel and Athanasio showed they had some chemistry. You probably want to, mess with that a little bit. And then
you put Radish or maybe on their right line, and that's a pretty solid second line. That's going to
create
some offense. I don't know if it'll stop anyone from scoring, but they'll score.
With Bedard and Hall, you probably want someone who's a little bit more pass first, right? You do need, because I thought Radish was going to fit with Bedard, but that probably doesn't make it. You do probably want Hall. And so Radish, Reichel, Athanasiou, and then, Joey Anderson. Who,
I like Tyler Johnson in that top line right wing role because he's a guy who
he thinks the game at a high level.
He does, and he's got no ego.
Yeah.
He was famous for when he was in Tampa, where he kind of embraced that fourth line role, which was put upon him after being a top six guy. And he just seems like a guy who is happy to play his role, whatever that role may be. And I think he'll want Connor Bedard to succeed. He's a really good guy. I like that top line of Hall, Bedard with Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense.
Radish is a scorer. You don't want to have another scorer on. You don't want Bedard to become passive and deferential. You want him to develop some killer instinct quickly.
Yeah.
And Hall is a finisher. You don't want to have two finishers on both of his wings.
Makes sense to me.
So what do you think the defense is going to look like? I mean, without Regula there, Regula and Mitchell could have been in the mix next year. Now, you kind of wrote about this a little bit in our news story on this, is there's now kind of a dearth of right-handed shots in this system.
Yeah.
Nikita Zaitsev is going to have to play at this point.
I think they were going to play. I think Zaitsev was part of the financial plan. They need his contract.
It all depends on whether Korchinski plays or not.
Yeah, I think they're going to. I think regardless, they're going to burn the year. I think that he's going to appear in 10 games, and then they'll either send him back or they'll send him to World Juniors, or maybe end the year in Seattle. But I don't.
What more is he going to get out of? He just had a championship run in Seattle.
I think Davidson needs to start thinking more about contracts, and him sliding the year probably actually hurts the Blackhawks, because then
same as Bedard.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, that and just the usually someone like Pujinski is not going to put up crazy numbers last year, but 4 years from now, the numbers are a little bit different as they get older. So I think burning the year, you sort of help yourself on the second contract. And I don't know how much he gets out of Seattle, and even if he sits games this year and you just want him watching, and I mean, he's played 200 junior games over the last 2 years. Like, he's a kid that just needs to develop, and I don't think WHL hockey I think
not enough for him
right exceeded
now.
That
I could certainly see him. I mean, Blackhawks fans are going to cringe when you hear the words World Juniors, but that's a very logical thing for him to do.
They should have sent Doc to the World Juniors the first year. Yeah. I mean, the kid, he was barely playing at that point, and there's going to be a developmental plan still, for Kaiser and Vlasic and Korchinski. So I think they start off with, I think this season you see maybe like Korchinski and Jones, Vlasic and Murphy, maybe Kaiser wins.
Tenorti, Murphy. They like Tenorti and Murphy together. Yeah, maybe Vlasic and Kaiser switch off with Zaitsev.
Yeah, and then
or maybe one of them learns to play on their offside.
Yeah,
and
for
that
sure.
That would greatly benefit both of their chances if they would learn to adapt and be like a Jommerson and play.
I feel like Kaiser has a chance to do that. He's a little bit more. Yeah. Agile and
there's no rule saying you have to be a right-handed shot to play on the right side.
No,
Jommerson was a perfect example of that. If you're going to be a defensive-minded guy, it can actually help to be on your off wing.
Jommerson was just so rare at that. Plus, he didn't have to do much offensively. So sometimes it was helpful that he could just defend and get the puck out, and someone else would deal with it. I guess Caleb Jones is still a possibility.
That's a big question too. Yeah. Because if you bring back Caleb Jones, you're either scratching Zaitsev every night, or you're just blocking up this pathway.
For I think that's the thing you got to worry about, right? It's like you just want to block. I mean, there's enough guys that
I like Caleb Jones. Like he is a phenomenal skater. There's a lot to like there, and he's a relatively young guy still. But if you believe that Vlasic and Kaiser and Del Mastro and these guys are in
all those guys are coming next year, Nolan Allen and Del Mastro. Yeah. I mean, Isaac Phillips is still there.
Isaac Phillips, yeah. You can't keep blocking them with middle-of-the-road guys.
Yeah, and Krasinski needs to have you need to have that spot open. So, and then in net, I think it's Soderblom and Mrazek, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's it. It was nice to see. I saw Alex Daylock yesterday. He's here for he's a finalist for the Masterton. He'd be a very deserving winner. He was joking around how he's just drawing interest from all 32 teams. He'll be missed. He was a well-liked guy in their room. Happy for him that, his career has been resurrected basically for what he went through. But, Mrazek, Soderblom, that's a no-brainer to have. So what do you think? We're getting more fireworks this week? Or is this the big one?
No, I think this is the big one. I'm curious if they move in the draft in that second pick.
They'd love to trade up. They want that 19 to become like a low teen.
Yeah, or even having the 4 seconds become a late first or something.
Yeah.
Just getting another in that first round or moving up. I think it's gonna be really challenging to move up more than a couple spots, and you probably don't want to give up a whole lot to move up just a few spots unless you have someone targeted. But
I keep getting people asking me like, would they be able to take those seconds and that number 19 and get up to get Michkov? I mean, no, they cannot.
No,
nobody's trading out of the top 10 in this draft.
No, it's...
This is not the NFL.
No. And especially in this draft where there's... I think that's the curious thing is if they move anywhere. And it feels so strange because if this was the second or third or fourth, I guess the second would be Fantilli for sure, but...
Not necessarily. There's a Leo Carlson scuttlebutt going on. It's an interesting draft after Bedard.
Yeah.
There's nothing that an NHL GM loves more than outsmarting themselves.
I know. I also think Michkov's the second or third best player in this draft.
If you were Montreal, you would take Michkov at 5, no doubt.
Yeah, because I think you're waiting on someone for a couple of years anyways.
Yeah, once you get past Fantilli, maybe Carlson. Yeah. These guys aren't NHL ready yet.
No, yeah, I think Fantilli's ready. He may go back to Michigan, but I think he's ready. And Carlson, he's played in the SHL. He's played in the World Championships. He's probably pretty close. But the other guys,
If you're gonna wait a year or two,
why not wait for the NHL ready guy who's gonna come? And I think they're overthinking. I know the Russia situation is complicated, and certainly you worry about the KHL and guys resigning. But I think. I mean, he's going to be at the draft. He's meeting with player teams, and I think they still want to play at this league. Eventually, you want to get that second contract as soon as you can because that's when you get really paid. So
I'll tell you, the Russia thing's becoming really interesting. The fact that in this incredibly weak Hall of Fame class, Alex McGillney couldn't get in, it's starting to feel like there's a legitimate anti-Russian bias now, where it's like we don't even want to touch these guys because we're afraid of the PR or we don't like them. We don't trust whatever it is. This is the realest it's felt in a long time.
It's so odd because they weren't allowed at the scouting combine.
Yeah.
But they're permitted to be at the draft and then you have the Hockey Hall of Fame stuff and certainly all the Pride Night stuff and it's the NHL's making decisions without saying what the decisions are there for and everything just feels.
At the team level, you're having this where they're afraid to draft him. At the league level, you're having this with some of the Pride Night stuff. And then even at the Hall of Fame committee, these 18 shadow members that don't tell us what's going on, fucking Tom Barrasso and Mike Vernon are in the Hall of Fame, but Alexander McGillney's not. Get the get out of here. This is becoming ridiculous.
I mean, can't imagine those hockey. I mean, those guys, those people might even not be on Twitter, but they're on social media. But to go on there and no one is happy, you know,
it's just unacceptable.
Yeah, it's
I'm not like I'm no fan of Vladimir Putin, but if we're talking about hockey here, we're not talking about the war here.
No, it's
Matvey Michkov, as far as I know, is not driving policy in Russia.
I haven't heard about that yet.
It might be another insurrection.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, it's
So what do we think? Who do we think the Hawks are drafting at number one?
Oh, may have to wait until next podcast to find out.
You think they might throw us a curveball and draft like Will Smith or something?
I think the Wirtz family would get up there and make sure that like tackling him.
I'll kill you! I'll kill you, Mike Donaghy!
Yeah, I think everyone is just the whole organization is ecstatic because this financially this can work out better for the business side.
The timing, everything about it is perfect for them.
Yeah, because
they can still suck next year and get a top five pick.
Oh, for sure, yeah. But yeah, as long as they're selling jerseys,
they'll sell out.
No one was going to buy Fantilli jerseys like this. You know, like it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, you're watching like a Mets game and there's someone wearing a Blackhawks Bedard jersey. I mean, it's getting ridiculous.
I know the talent level discrepancy is not the same, but it almost feels like when the Bulls considered drafting Michael Beasley over Derrick Rose, there was only one pick that made any sense through every single level of this, and.
I've been here for a couple days now, and you talk to everybody, and everyone wants to talk about Bedard, and I keep asking the same question, and I wrote a column the day of the draft lottery, and I was assuming the Blackhawks were not going to win it, so I was raining on everyone's parade, but I've legitimate, like, the expectations for this kid are so insane now. Yeah. He's Connor McDavid. Like, if you're not Connor McDavid, like, what if, and some people do see this, what if he's Patrick Kane? Is that enough? That's not, like,
he's a better shooter than Patrick Kane was coming out.
But what if his career is basically Patrick Kane's career? Where Patrick Kane was the best player in the world exactly once when he won the Hart Trophy.
Yeah.
He was not a point-a-game guy for, like, 7 or 8 seasons to start his career.
Yeah.
And I know scoring was a little bit different in the late 2000s than it is now. But, what if he's just really, really, really good? Is that enough? Like, I'm not saying he's going to be, like, he's a can't-miss. Everyone says this is not going to be an Alex Daig situation.
Yeah.
But what if he's just really, really, really good? What if he's Taylor Hall?
Yeah.
Is that a failure? Like, the expectations are fucking insane right now. It seems, he's 17 years old. Connor McDavid is one of one. You can't expect,
I don't think he's, but.
What if he's Austin Matthews? Is that good enough?
Yeah, probably. I feel like there's actual evidence of how good this kid is.
He's really good.
Yeah, I just like there's the points and what he does on the ice and watching enough tape of him, like it's something special and a lot of it translates right away what he does with his shot and just Yeah, just, yeah, I don't...
You know who else is really, really, really good? Patrick Kane, the greatest American hockey player of all time. And I'm wondering...
But Kane sort of... I mean, Kane's... His draft year, he was expected to be like a late first round or second.
Bedard's, yeah, Talon fell in love with him, yeah.
Well, no, just like he also blew up in London. Like he went to a different level in his game, you know, like he started diversifying. And
but Bedard, it's been years now.
I'm
not saying he's a potential miss. Like he's a can't miss. He's not Nail Yakupov here. He's not even Juraj Slafkovský. Like he's a can't miss guy. I'm just saying, like, I don't even know, like, like, he has to score 150 points as rookie. Or people be like, he's not what we thought he was.
No, I don't think that's realistic. But I'd be surprising if he didn't come in and be a pretty instant. Like, he's not a superstar, but he's someone who's...
What if he has, I think he'll produce 65 more points next year as a rookie? That's really good for a rookie. Is that enough? Will people be like, it's a letdown?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends how it comes and what the power... I mean, he's obviously going to get a lot of ice time. He's playing the top power play. Powerfully, will probably run through him.
Top winner,
like,
now.
I think he's set up in a position to, you know, somewhat succeed. Like, it's not as, you know, like, it's not as well as probably Kane and Taves walked into. But I think it's not even Kane and Taves. I mean, it was after, like, Hossa came a little bit after that. And, yeah. I mean, at least, but yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't think expectations are, like, I think what he can become is that superstar. But out of the gate, like, I think he's going to get all the opportunity to succeed, which is, you know, like, you give him the ice time and you're given, you know, like, they're building the team around him. Like, you want the guy to be in a position to succeed. And there's a learning curve, and, you know, like, I think some people, there has to be some realistic, expectations. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, like, looking at, you know, I know you were in Buffalo for the combine. Kid is thick, man. Like, he is not, like, some waif Timothy Chalamet 17-year-old. This is like a man coming in. His arms are huge. Like, he might be 5'10", but he is built like a 30-year-old Patrick Kane.
Oh, he's not 5'10". He weighed
5'9" and 3/4", excuse me. He's built like a 30-year-old Patrick Kane, not like a 18-year-old Patrick.
Well, and that's why I think the Blackhawks are optimistic, at least to try him at center. They think he's, you know, he's sturdy enough, he can play the position. He's always played center, and I don't know. I think some of it's going to be trial and error, and then some of it's, you know, like, there has to be a learning curve for... I mean, we've seen that with Jack Hughes. Like, Jack Hughes is going to be a superstar.
Hughes was tiny when he came in. He was like a stick.
Well, no, I'm just saying. Yeah. But I mean, Jack Hughes.
I'm saying that's another thing that, you know, that Bedard has over some of the other guys.
No, for sure.
What's been interesting is, like, I've been talking to a lot of, over the last little while, a lot of, like, other top. I talked to Connor McDavid. I've talked to Owen Power, Jack Hughes, Nico Hischier. And they all keep using the same phrase. He's got a good head on his shoulders. Yeah. Everyone keeps raving about how this kid is built to handle this. And he's been facing these expectations long enough now that they kind of know that. That's a huge part of this, because he's not going to Anaheim where he can just kind of toil in anonymity. He's going to Chicago.
Yeah.
He's going to be on national TV a shit ton. TNT and ESPN are going to eat this kid up.
Yeah.
So the pressure and the spotlight is going to be bigger than McDavid faced. Maybe Matthews, because it's Toronto.
McDavid was big because it was Canada.
But he's in Edmonton, though.
Yeah, it's not like Chicago media is like that.
Not local, but I mean, being in Chicago, he's going to be in the national spotlight a lot more than he would be in Edmonton. I think Austin Matthews is the best comp there because Toronto is the center of the hockey world.
Yeah,
and you know,
I feel like Matthews would probably be, because regardless, I don't.
It seems like everyone thinks he's going to be okay.
No, for sure, but I don't think like at the end of the day, like, people don't talk Blackhawks on the radio still. Like, it just doesn't feel. Like, it's a big deal in it, and certainly you can see in the Blackhawks and the hockey fandom is grown over the years, and people consistently come. I think there'll be a large spotlight nationally, but I don't know if you'll always feel it in Chicago. Like, yeah, it's going to be a packed house, and people are expecting things out of you, and maybe having someone like Taylor Hall now, like, it helps a little bit to take that edge off, where not everyone's going to have to go to Connor Bedard after every single game, you know? Like, I think, you know, having Kane and Taves there, it took the burden off of young guys before, and you want to have some guys that we can talk to and guys that talk for the team. So I think that's where that some of that lies too. Like, so that Bedard's not the one only answering questions.
You think the Blackhawks will have a captain next year, or does having Bedard waiting in the wings make them just like, let's give it a couple of years of just having try alternates?
No, like, I think you gotta give it to Murphy, right?
Well, I mean, Seth Jones seemed like the logical choice because he was so locked in long term.
Yeah.
But now that you know that it's probably going to wind up being Bedard at some point, you can't give it to the guy who's here for seven more years.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle
that. Murphy handles himself
Murphy
like captain.
Absolutely deserves it. He would be worthy, and he's only here for a couple of years. He could be a transition captain, but I'm not so sure they're going to even have one next year.
Yeah. It'd be odd not.
Because that's what you do now, right? You just put
like
the
if you're
C
moving
on, your
on
best
from
player.
Kane and Taves, and then really move on. Like it just Connor Murphy makes sense as the captain. I think he's the one who will stand up and answer the tough questions. Yep. I think he's he behaves like a captain and certainly talks like a captain, and I think it makes a lot of sense. And let's see what's I think that from that respect that I do think from a physical aspect, I think Bedard's gonna be the real deal. But let's see who he is as a person, right? Like why hand over the captaincy? I mean, Taves would have been the first one to tell you that probably was a bad idea how young he was.
Oh,
to be
he loved
captain.
Talking about how unprepared he was. For
so
it. Yeah,
so I mean, if you've learned anything about the past, is don't hand Connor Bedard the captain. Maybe he doesn't. And just because he's your best player doesn't necessarily have to be asked the captain either.
It's interesting how that's become the norm.
The norm, yeah.
You just put the C on your best player. That's not what the captain's supposed to be. The captain's supposed to be, the driving force that in the room.
And he's
not
also the one who
ice.
Talks to the referees and stuff. Yeah. Like, wait to see what Bedard is. But I think Connor Murphy at many levels.
Murphy is certainly.
And I think Jones would be fine. But I think Connor Murphy, the longevity and all those things, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he's like the only guy of any standing that's been around for more than a couple of years at this point.
And I'm not sure Kurashev wants that role. So.
he's a better talker than he gets credit for these days. He's gotten cocky and funny, and I appreciate that.
It sort of feels like the draft to be, now that they've traded someone and we know who they're drafting. Like
you know what? I'm fine with it calming down because it's been, these drafts, oh my God, like I always go back to that Chicago year with the Chalmers and the Panarin trade. Like that was one of the most hectic days of our career. It was. I remember I was dropping my daughter off at the babysitter, and before heading into the United Center, and I got the text on my phone, and I had to pull off into like the Walgreens parking lot and like shoot off some tweets and some emails and some texts, and then like going like 80 miles an hour on side streets to get her to drop her off at the end, and just dashing into the city, and then you get reports that Joel Quenneville was storming out of the team, meaning he was so pissed about them trading Chalmerson and Panarin, and then all kinds of shit. And we're doing teleconferences, sitting in the press box on the floor, and it was just chaos, man. That day, those days are fun, but they are also a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, even today, like I was getting ready for my flight to come here, and this story broke, and I was driving back from they were doing like a tour of Fifth Third Arena. The practice arena on the day of that trade because it was the draft was in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then I was driving home too. I remember seeing a Walgreens. It's funny that we have been in two different Walgreens out somewhere, but I was coming down
to Chicago. There's a Walgreens in every corner.
Coming back home from Ashland. But yeah, just how that broke. And it'll be nice if.
Sometimes I get, these weeks can be almost overwhelming because it's just like the chaos of, get the awards into the draft, into the free agency, and all the trades that accompany it. But I appreciate the way the NHL does its offseason, man. Like, every Canadian one that has a cottage for some reason, I think they're all fabulously wealthy, I guess. And they all, on July 2nd, are like, fuck you guys, we're out of here. And they are gone for the summer. While, the NBA, like, these trades happen, and they don't come official for, 3 weeks after. And MLB hot stove just lasts months. And the NFL, there's all this cat machinations. Hockey's like, we are ripping that Band-Aid off, and we are going home.
It's weird because there's some deals that some signings, like RFAs that'll linger.
Oh, they'll drag out.
But then it's like, then I'll text someone who might know, an insider, and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm in my cottage. I can't really help you. I'm not really paying attention anymore. It's like anything that happens after July 2nd or 3rd,
Especially August. August in the hockey world is hilarious. Like, there is nobody. Like, you cannot get anybody on the phone in the month of August.
It's felt weird. It's strange because when we came on the beat, it was so hectic there for 3 years straight. And then they have long off seasons. Like, we've still write plenty. It feels like such a different ebb and flow. You've covered playoff hockey more than I have.
I want a cottage. That's all I'm saying. Everyone gets a cottage. I want
a cottage. Michigan City or something, or get
we're off Lake Michigan, man. You want to get one up by the dunes.
We probably just split one if we want. A timeshare.
Southwestern Michigan. There's some beautiful ones over there. I want a cottage. Everyone has a cottage.
Or you just move to Canada.
You move in. They go, here you go. Here's your healthcare card, and here's your keys to your cottage. And now give me your guns. So we will podcast again probably on, I would guess, Wednesday night. Maybe Wednesday night, maybe after Thursday, maybe sometime on Thursday when the dust settles a little bit. And can't wait to see who the Blackhawks pick one overall. It's going to be interesting.
For Mark Lazarus, I am Scott Powers, and it's Lazarus and Powers. We'll talk to you soon. And I know that I can't fix it. I can help even just a little bit.